Peace be upon you. God willing, today we're going to start from where we left off last week, starting from chapter 2, verses 40 through 53. God willing, we're going to use the same recording from Submission Radio. So, God willing, let's begin. In the name of God, most gracious and most merciful, we seek refuge in God from Satan the rejected.
O children of Israel, remember my favor, which I bestowed upon you, and fulfill your part of the covenant that I fulfill my part of the covenant, and reverence me. You shall believe in what I have revealed herein, confirming what you have. Do not be the first to reject it. Do not trade away my revelations for a cheap price, and observe me. Do not confound the truth with falsehood, nor shall you conceal the truth knowingly. You shall observe the contact prayers, salat, and give the obligatory charity, zakat, and bow down with those who bow down. Do you exhort the people to be righteous while forgetting yourselves, though you read the scripture? Do you not understand? You shall seek help through steadfastness in the contact prayers, salat. This is difficult indeed, but not so for the reverent, who believe that they will meet their Lord, that to him they ultimately return. O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you, and that I blessed you more than any other people. Beware of the day when no soul can avail another soul, no intercession will be accepted. No ransom can be paid, nor can anyone be helped. Recall that we saved you from Pharaoh's people, who inflicted upon you the worst persecution. Slaying your sons and sparing your daughters, that was an exacting test from your Lord. Recall that we parted the sea for you, and we saved you and drowned Pharaoh's people before your eyes. Yet, when we summoned Moses for 40 nights, you worshipped the calf in his absence and turned wicked. Still, we pardoned you thereafter, that you may be appreciative. Recall that we gave Moses scripture and the statute book, that you may be guided.
Okay, so to start talking about the verses that we just read, in Chapter 2, verse 40, it talks about a covenant that was made with the children of Israel.
And this covenant is further emphasized in chapter 5, verse 12, where we read, God had taken a covenant from the children of Israel, and we raised among them 12 patriarchs. And God said, I am with you so long as you observe the contact prayer salat, give the obligatory charity zakat, and believe in my messengers, and respect them, and continue to lend God a loan of righteousness. I will then remit your sins and admit you into gardens with flowing streams. Anyone who disbelieves after this has indeed strayed off the right path. So we read here that it's a commandment to the children of Israel that they perform the contact prayers, that they give the zakat, and they lead a righteous life. And there's a further explanation of these verses in chapter 7, 155 through 158. It reads, Moses then selected 70 men from among his people to come to our appointed audience. When the quake shook them, he said, My Lord, you could have annihilated them in the past, together with me if you so willed. Would you annihilate us for the deeds of those among us who are foolish? This must be the test that you have instituted for us. With it you condemn whomever you will and guide whomever you will. You are Lord and Master, so forgive us, shower us with your mercy. You are the best forgiver. And decree for us righteousness in this world and in the hereafter. We have repented to you. He said, so this is God speaking, My retribution befalls whomever I will, but my mercy encompasses all things. However, I will specify it for those who, 1, lead a righteous life, 2, give the obligatory charity zakat, 3, believe in our revelations, and 4, follow the messenger, the Gentile prophet Muhammad, whom they find written in the Torah and the Gospel. He exhorts them to be righteous, enjoins them from evil, allows for them all good food, and prohibits that which is bad, and unloads the burdens and shackles imposed upon them. Those who believe in him, respect him, support him, and follow the light that came with him are the successful ones. So we see here that it's basically a commandment for the children of Israel to not only do the contact prayers, to give the zakat, to believe in the revelations, including this Quran, but to also at the time of the prophet to follow him as a supporter.
And that was emphasized also in chapter 2, verse 41, when it says, you shall believe in what I have revealed herein. Another verse for this is chapter 5, verse 65 and 66. If only the people of the scripture believe and lead a righteous life, we will then remit their sins and admit them into the gardens of bliss. If only they would uphold the Torah and the gospel and what was sent down to them herein from their Lord, they would be showered with blessings from above them and from beneath their feet. Some of them are righteous, but many of them are evildoers.
So we see here that it's a divine commandment for all the Jews that they shall believe in this Quran, that this Quran is actually a message to the entire world. It's not limited to just one community, that being Arabs or people in the Mideast. This is a message to all the people of the scripture and all future generations as well. In 242, we read, do not confound the truth with falsehood, nor shall you conceal the truth knowingly. And this is a practice that's been rampant for as long as God's been sending revelations, is that a group of the quote-unquote scholars or, you know, religious leaders, they always try to conceal parts of the scripture that they find is a threat to their establishment. And in 3:187, we read, God took a covenant from those who received the scripture. You shall proclaim it to the people and never conceal it. But they disregarded it behind their backs and traded it away for a cheap price. What a miserable trade. And this further reiterates one of the purposes of the Quran, that it basically brings out a lot of these facts that were concealed in the previous scripture. In 5:15 through 16, we read, O people of the scripture, our messenger has come to you to proclaim for you many things you have concealed in the scripture, and to pardon many other transgressions you have committed. A beacon has come to you from God and a profound scripture. With it, God guides those who seek his approval. He guides them to the path of peace, leads them out of darkness in the light by his leave, and guides them in a straight path. And in 45:16 through 17, we read, we have given the children of Israel the scripture, wisdom, and prophethood, and provided them with good provisions. We bestowed upon them more blessings than any other people. We have given them herein clear commandments. Ironically, they did not dispute this until the knowledge had come to them. This is due to jealousy on their part. And in 43, again, it reiterates that telling basically the people of the scripture to observe the contact prayer salat and give the obligatory charity zakat. And as we saw in a previous podcast, the contact prayers and all religious practices of submission came from Abraham. In 1440 and 2173, we see that God taught Abraham how to perform the contact prayers. And in chapter 5, verse 12, we read that the children of Israel also did the contact prayers. In 2014 and 1087, we read that Moses did the contact prayers. And in 1931, it says that Jesus did the contact prayers. So since the time of Abraham, the contact prayers have been in existence, and it's been decreed for all people of scripture to perform it.
So verse 44, moving on, talks about exhorting the people to be righteous while forgetting themselves. And this kind of goes back to the religious leaders that were just talked about and concealing some of the scripture. They also sometimes preached certain things to be done while forgetting it themselves. In chapter 61, 2 and 3, it says, O you who believe, why do you say what you do not do? Most abominable in the sight of God is what you say, is that you say what you do not do. So it's very important that we not only give advice to other people, but we also take our own advice and follow the commandments in order to grow our souls and to be saved.
And it kind of is like the expression that you sometimes hear. It says, do as I say, not as I do. And that's an absolute hypocritical statement. And God tells us that the hypocrites are basically the worst in disbelief.
And will be in the lowest pit of hell.
And it's our duty not to basically fall in the steps of being a hypocrite, to advocate something when, you know, us ourselves don't abide by it.
The next verse is 45 and 46, emphasizes seeking help through the steadfastness in the contact prayer. And this it says that it might seem difficult for people, and it's true that sometimes in our submission at the beginning, it might seem that it's difficult to do certain practices. But as we grow our soul and we increase our knowledge, we see that it's actually not difficult at all. And some of the verses talking about this phenomenon are in chapter 90, verse 10 through 18. Did we not show him the two paths? He should follow the difficult path. Which one is a difficult path? The freeing of slaves, feeding during the times of hardship, orphans who are related, or the poor who is in need. And being one of those who believe, and exhorting one another to be steadfast, and exhorting one another to be kind. These have deserved happiness.
And it's interesting to point that in 87:8, as opposed to God telling the people to choose the difficult path, in 87:8 it says, we will direct you to the easiest path. Therefore you shall remind, perhaps your reminder will benefit, the reverent will take heed, the wicked will avoid it.
And then kind of bringing that to another verse on this point is in 65:4, at the end of the verse, it says, anyone who reverences God, he makes everything easy for him.
And in 65:7 it says, God does not impose on any soul more than he has given it. God will provide ease after difficulty.
So to emphasize that again, it might seem at the beginning of, you know, your submission to God and to devoting yourself to him alone that some practices are difficult. But God rewards us manifold, and he makes everything easy for us, in fact.
So it might seem difficult to do, participate in Ramadan and fast for a month. It might seem difficult to do 5 contact prayers, to get up at dawn.
Or to do ablution and put your foot in the sink in a public place.
But God says if we follow his commandments that he'll make this easy for us, and he'll actually make our lives much easier, remove any adversity or hardship. But it's our decision to make that choice to go with the difficult path, or what appears to be the difficult path.
And going back to the verses again, in 47, it talks about the children of Israel and the favor which was bestowed upon them. And it was talked about earlier that the children of Israel are very blessed. And just kind of a verse to talk about that is 45:16. It says, we have given the children of Israel the scripture, wisdom, and prophethood, and provided them with good provisions. We bestowed upon them more blessings than any other people.
Yeah, it's the fact that the children of Israel, they've had so many prophets and so many messengers and all the miracles that came to them, that the responsibility is higher. But it shows that the reason they are the chosen people is not because they have any, that they're the only ones who are going to be able to make it to God's kingdom or anything like that. It's just that they have a higher responsibility due to all the blessings that God has sent to them.
If you even just take a second to, like, you know, emphasize all the prophets they had. They had Jacob, Joseph,
Solomon, David,
Moses, Aaron.
Yeah, and the list goes on. I mean, the vast majority, actually all of the Old Testament, all the Jewish prophets that they've had, all the miracles that were given to them. So the responsibility grows with the amount of blessings that God bestows upon any people. In 248, we read, beware of the day when no soul can avail another soul. No intercession will be accepted, no ransom can be paid, nor can anyone be helped. And this is a major concept in the Quran, is this myth of intercession. And you see it rampant in many religions and beliefs, that they believe someone other than God can intercede on God's decision and therefore make it to heaven when they themselves do not deserve to go to heaven.
But the Quran actually emphasizes that there's no nepotism, no favoritism, no intercession, that everybody will have to face God on their own.
Yeah, and if you think about it, Abraham couldn't save his own father, Noah couldn't save his own son, Lot couldn't save his own wife. What makes anyone think that, you know, some human being can basically intercede on their part, that being a prophet or a saint that we've never met before? And one of the verses that just completely shatters this myth of intercession is in 63:6. It reads, it is the same for them whether you pray for their forgiveness or not pray for their forgiveness. God will not forgive them, for God does not guide the wicked people.
Some verses talking about what it will be like on the day of resurrection is 6:94. It says, you have come back to us as individuals, just as we created you the first time, and you have left behind what we provided for you. We do not see with you the intercessors that you idolize and claim that will help you. All ties among you have been severed. The idols you have set up have abandoned you. And again, some more verses in 2:165-167. Yet some people set up idols to rival God and love them as if they are God. Those who believe love God the most. If only the transgressors could see themselves when they see the retribution. They will realize then that all power belongs to God alone and that God's retribution is awesome. Those who are followed will disown those who followed them. They will see the retribution and all ties among them will be severed. Those who followed will say, if we can get another chance, we will disown them as they have disowned us now. God thus shows them the consequences of their evil works as nothing but remorse. They will never exit hell.
So God's telling us that on the day of judgment, anyone who thinks that they're going to have an intercessor is going to be severely disappointed. These people are just as helpless as the idols they invoke. God is the only one who possesses power. God's the only one who forgives sins. And God's the only one who determines by his laws who's going to be able to be redeemed and who's going to basically make it to hell. So this is something that is completely between an individual and God.
And just to kind of top off this example with a couple more verses, in 10:28 and 29, it says at the end, we'll have them confront each other. Idols will say to them, we had no idea that you idolized us. God suffices as a witness between us and you that we are completely unaware of your worshiping us. And then further, one more is from the Bible, actually, in Matthew 7:21-23. And it kind of hits home that it's in the Bible because a lot of people who are Christian and Catholic believe that Jesus will intercede on their behalf and he will save them and stuff. But the verse says, no one who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And this was Jesus who was saying this.
Yeah, and that's, again, it's from the Bible. And you see that even in their own scripture, this myth of intercession is clearly pointed out that it's no more than a myth and isn't something to be relied on. So if we continue reading in 49, it reads, recall that we saved from you from Pharaoh's people who inflicted upon you the worst persecution, slaying your sons and sparing your daughters. This was an exacting test from your Lord. Recall that we parted the sea for you, we saved you and drowned Pharaoh's people before your eyes.
And this exacting test that it's talking about from your Lord is explained in 7:127-129. It reads, the leaders among Pharaoh's people said, will you allow Moses and his people to corrupt the earth and forsake you and your gods? He said, we will kill their sons and spare their daughters. We are much more powerful than they are. Moses said to his people, seek God's help and steadfastly persevere. The earth belongs to God, and he grants it to whomever he chooses from among his servants. The ultimate victory belongs to the righteous. They said, we were persecuted before you came to us and after you came to us. He said, your Lord will annihilate your enemy and establish you on earth. Then he will see how you behave. This is talking about that when, Moses came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh threatened the people that, you know, we will kill your sons and spare your daughters. And the children of Israel almost like turned back on their heels and said, you know, Moses, we were persecuted before you and after you. Why should we believe with you?
Yeah. And we see that Pharaoh never followed through with this second threat, that they were actually spared and allowed to leave. And when they were persecuted and chased by Pharaoh and his troops, that they were able to part the Red Sea dry, while Pharaoh and his troops, when they tried to depart, they were overwhelmed and crushed.
So that test part of it actually was if they would still side with God and with Moses, given these threats from Pharaoh.
So just to kind of wrap up, the last verse we're going to talk about is 51. It says, yet we summoned Moses for 40 nights. You worship the calf in his absence and turn wicked. This actually reflects the incident when Moses left the children of Israel to go get the commandments from God. And they worship the golden calf in his absence. After all the miracles, all the proofs, everything that they've seen, they reverted to idol worship. And this just reflects the human being tendency to fall into idol worship, that despite seeing the Red Sea part before their eyes and all the miracles that Moses brought, these people still chose to follow idols. And in chapter 5, starting from 21, we read that only two people out of the 100,000 plus people of the children of Israel left Pharaoh with Moses actually believed. And the verses read, God gives the Holy Land to Israel. It says, "O my people, enter the Holy Land that God has decreed for you, and do not rebel lest you become losers." They said, "O Moses, there are powerful people in it, and we will not enter it unless they get out of it. If they get out, we are entering." Two men who were reverent and blessed by God said, "Just enter the gate. If you just enter it, you will surely prevail. You must trust in God if you are believers." So out of all these people, two men basically were trusting God. But the vast majority still did not trust God. It continues, they said, "Oh Moses, we will never enter it so long as they are in it. Therefore go, you and your Lord, and fight. We are sitting right here." He said, so Moses saying, "My Lord, I can only control myself and my brother, so allow us to part company with the wicked people." He said, so this is God talking, "Henceforth it is forbidden for them for 40 years, during which they will roam the earth aimlessly. Do not grieve over such wicked people."
And verse 2 that gives a description of what the calf was that they worshipped is in 7:148. It says, "During his absence, Moses' people made from their jewelry the statue of a calf, complete with the sound of a calf. Did they not see that it could not speak to them or guide them in any path? They worshipped it and thus turned wicked." And it's actually kind of funny, when they were traveling with Moses, they saw some people with a statue also, and they stopped and said, "Moses, can you make a statue like this, like a god that we can worship?" He said, "You silly people, you have a god who can do more than this statue, who's
can't has no hear power. You can't speak to you, can't do anything. It's a statue." Yet that's the path that they chose, and they suffered the consequences from that. I mean, similarly, how many people in this life, they worship their money, they worship their jobs, their property, their homes, and they neglect all the blessings and all the proofs that God has sent down to us. We're going to stop at this point until next week, inshallah. As always, if you highly recommend to read the Quran, awesome translation at quranalone.com. The recitation was Submission Radio, submission.ws. And if you got any comments or questions, feel free to contact us at QuranTalk@gmail.com. Peace and God bless.
Peace be upon you.